Scripture this morning from the book of Acts is an interesting and exciting story. It's one of the first times, or the first time, in the scriptures that we read where the early church gathered to worship on Sunday. Always had been the Jewish practice of gathering on Saturday, what was the traditional Jewish Sabbath, but to celebrate the resurrection of Christ on Sunday, as we continue in this tradition. And this wasn't the church that we think of today with pews, but more of a house gathering where they came together to hear the word of a traveling minister, traveling preacher in many ways, to hear the words of Paul. Listen carefully to the words of the Lord found from Acts 20, 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room that were where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul kept talking on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for the truth that you give to us in your scriptures. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to learn more. We pray that as the words that I share would contain your truth. And should they stray from your truth, they would be quickly forgotten. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to hear and to understand you more. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Now, this location of the gathering of the early church was a house, as I mentioned earlier, a three-story house, and they would were on the top story, but think of it more as the basement being the first level, then the second level, and the third. And they're gathered together in this room with several people, no air conditioning. There are these lamps that were hot and burned in oil that made the room even more stuffy than we would typically imagine. The windows that they speak of where Eutychus was sitting, was leaned against, was more of a lattice covering on it. There were no no window panes, but some kind of wood to keep the animals and other things out. And the window would start much lower, about a foot or two off the ground versus a taller one. So this young man Eutychus is sitting there listening to Paul as it says, "Go on and on." Some of us feel like maybe we've been there to a sermon that's gone on and on. Not at Norotan, I promise, but I'm just theorizing that maybe we've heard one that went on and on. But this sermon that Paul shared was not a typical sermon that we might think of, or that I'm giving now, of standing in a pulpit and talking to people. It was more of a dialogue and a discussion that you might get in a Bible study or a classroom setting where Paul would share something and then some discussion would go on. So it wasn't a long sermon like that, but it said it started at sundown and went until midnight. That's a long time, no matter who's preaching, no matter how great the dialogue is, to be there together. They say that they share a meal together, a time of fellowship, and also a time of celebrating the Lord's Supper. So two different meals that are shared together. Went on until sundown, as they say, and Eutychus was a young man. It says that he was a lad, a young man, who no doubt had been working out in the fields. It was not their Sabbath or day of rest, but the Sunday, the day of worship. And as he was sitting there, no doubt became tired and fell out of the window. And he was dead. They ran down. Someone has fallen out of the window in the middle of a time of learning, and everyone runs down, and they find Eutychus there, as it says, that his life had left him. As I was reading this scripture and reading more about it, it talks about where Paul laid on top of his body and prayed and breathed life into him. And it made me think, wait, I've heard this story recently. And yes, Pastor Greg described a few months ago when he was preaching about Elisha, and he did a similar thing with a Shuhamite woman's son, where Elisha laid on top of this woman's son who had died and breathed life into him, and he was raised from the dead. In the scriptures, there are 8 different people who are raised from death to life. You can try to jot those down and I'll let me know at the door if you come up with those 8. Jesus is one of them, so that's the easy one. But through the power of God, Paul raises this person from death to life. Now, many of us, as I said, have been there in a time of boredom, of maybe on a Sunday morning. But I don't think it's just Sunday morning that we become bored or overwhelmed with sleep and becoming disinterested in God and what's being shared. But I think sometimes we become bored with God. We become bored with wondering, what does God have in store for us? What is there out there? Part of this boredom, I think, transitions into a problem that I see in our church of many people looking at confirmation, the day-to-day that we come together to celebrate the 22 students making the profession of faith. And they look at confirmation in a similar way to graduation. Now, those of us who have been through college or on to master's degree know that graduation is the act of receiving an academic degree. Once you receive your degree from your college, university, high school, wherever it might be, it's yours. There's nothing they can do to take it back. There's nothing that you have to do to keep maintaining that degree for years to come. There are benefits of that degree that we get from a job, being able to have the accreditation of the things that we've learned on that degree. And there's also that affinity that we have for our university, depending upon how good their performance was, maybe on the football field or the basketball field, a certain pride we carry with our university. But confirmation is a little bit different in many different ways. Yes, it requires a great deal of study, a great deal of determination and work. But it's the rite of initiation into our church. It's the time of joining. It's not the end. To become a disciple, to pursue Jesus Christ, is a lifelong process. It's making that mature statement of faith that they proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, recognize themselves as a sinner and in need of God's salvation, to take away those sins. I look at this in a similar way of marriage. Our relationship with God and the relationship with our spouse or other friends. We can think of times in our life where maybe a relationship began, and then with marriage, you have that point of the wedding, or the dating, the courtship, and then the wedding, that significant point, and then the rest of your life of growing and knowing each other more and more. Imagine if you had a wonderful courtship, a marriage, and that was it, but you remained married somehow or another. It would be a similar way of confirmation being the end of the pursuit of Christ, the end of seeking after who God is, beginning to know and understand His love, the point of proclaiming your faith, and then nothing for the rest of their life. What a tragedy that is. Confirmation is in no way the end of the young people's pursuit of Christ. It's merely a mile marker in our journey of faith, a point where they make that public profession. Now, maybe for most of us, boredom might be a defense of why we don't continue to pursue Jesus Christ. As great and stimulating as the preaching is here, I know that we don't have the special effects or some of the other excitement that you might see in other places where you go to be entertained, but we're not here to be entertained. We're here to grow in the Lord. But I have a quiz for you to help illustrate how we sometimes miss out on the things of faith, and we are more drawn to those things in pop culture. Now, you don't have to write this or turn it in afterwards. It's a verbal quiz, and so be ready to speak back. I'm going to read to you the first few lines of some popular commercial taglines, and you've got to finish them. So we'll see how good you are. They're pretty easy. So if I said, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, really? Very good. Silly rabbit, tricks are?
Kids.
Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, the greatest? Bouncy is the quicker. See, you passed with flying colors. Now here's the next part of the quiz. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I started off easy, get you greased up good. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Still doing well, many of you. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And now the final doozer. Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And
peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus."
I didn't give Sam or Greg any advance notice, but I think they both passed. So some of these got a little bit tougher, and they illustrate sometimes if we had scripture, I think, that was driven into us as well as some of these ad campaigns, we might know it. But also, if we spent more time in the scripture, we might know it also. But you might be saying to me or Pastor Sam or Pastor Greg, yes, you're pastors. It's your job to memorize scripture. It is part of our, thank you, Mary. It is part of our, calling. But the beginning of our calling as pastors is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship to know and to seek him daily. You might say, no, I don't need to memorize it. I've got a Bible. I can go look it up, or I can go to BibleGateway.com and find any scripture I want to. And that's true. But when you're prepared with the word in your heart, you know it. You know it like you do the palm of your hand or other familiar things to you. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you know this stuff. You're pursuing, you know who Christ is. You see confirmation as an important mile marker. And I hope this is encouragement for you. Some of you might be wondering, what is he talking about? I thought there was a Red Cross blood drive here this morning, but that's on Thursday. But you've come here and you're not sure where it is that it means to pursue God, to know him more and more. And I hope this will be a time where you'll begin to think about that, how that relationship is something that God wants to develop in you. Last night, we gathered with many of the elders and families to hear the faith statements of the 22 confirmation students who, over the past year, have been studying and learning more and more of what it is to be a member of Noroten Presbyterian Church, and more importantly, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there were two themes that really stuck out as the confirmands shared their faith statements that I think are things that we can learn as adults for the rest of our lives to continue of what they picked up as eighth graders. One of the things was that many of the students shared that they had no belief in God. They kind of knew that he was there and didn't really understand him. And that confirmation was the first time that they truly pursued after God. They truly began to study and to seek more and more of who God is. And you know what happened when they sought after who God was? They found him. They understood him in a new way. They understood him in a real way. It says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We might sit and say, oh, we don't know God, or I'm not as smart, I don't know as many things as I'd like to about God. But then when we're honest with ourselves, do we really seek after him? How many of you in your marriage, in friendships, in business relationships, do you say, oh, I don't have a relationship, oh, well. No, you pursue after those people. You spend time with them, getting to know them. And the same thing with God. It's difficult sometimes. You might say, okay, I'm going to go in my room, turn off the TV, the radio, and distractions, and I'm going to have time with God. And you say, God, we got some time. All right, that was good. So, you know, that's kind of our idea sometimes of spending time with God. And the Bible has some wonderful stories, wonderful people who encountered Christ, encountered God in an amazing way. But maybe you open it up and you hit the genealogy and you think, oh my goodness, this genealogy is really not helping me in my life. I have some tools I want to offer to you. One is if there's a group called the Navigators. They have a wonderful website with some wonderful tools that help you in quiet time in pursuing God. They have an exercise, 7 minutes with God, of scripture reading that helps you to begin to understand and to hear God speaking to you through scripture. They have another illustration, use the praying hand, where it uses the five fingers to think of different things to pray for. If you have an opportunity, go to their website, and there's some wonderful tools to help you in that quiet time, in that time with God, to say, what is it? How can I pursue you more and more? Billy Graham, one of the great evangelists of our day, probably the greatest, says that every morning when he wakes up, he reads two or three of the Psalms and one of the Proverbs. He said the Psalms helps him to get along with God, and the Proverbs helps him to get along with his fellow man. I've used that discipline for several years. And every year that I do it, every time I do it, there are new things that God reveals to me in my actions with him, in my relationship with him, and also with my brothers and sisters in Christ. The final thing I offer is prayer. Prayer is such a powerful thing for us to do with God. But many of us, it's something we do before a big meeting or a final exam or before a meal. But how many of you would think of putting in your daytimer of an appointment with God? There's people who I've heard of that they have that. It was a specific time where they close their door and have 15 minutes where they pray to God. We wouldn't think of canceling a meeting with a business associate or a friend, but oftentimes we'll forget to just take 10, 15 minutes a day to listen, to talk, to share to God those things that are causing us pain and burdens. The last thing that I heard from the confirmation students, the second thing that I thought was significant for us as adults that we can get out of, is that six of the students who were confirmed last night, or being confirmed today, six of them went to Juarez, Mexico on our mission trip over spring break. And for all six of them, this was a significant part in their spiritual development, in their life of seeing God, seeing the Holy Spirit working in other people's lives like they had never seen before. You're here to worship on Sunday morning, and that is fantastic. And this is an essential part of what we do as a body of Christ. But this is only a part of it. There's so much more to the life of Noroten, whether it's going on a mission trip, whether it's doing small groups, the men and women's Bible studies. Teaching Sunday school is also a great way to know and understand the truth of the Lord, or also Liz Anderson's Bible study, or whatever it is, to get beyond just the Sunday morning, to fellowship together. As the early church said, they gathered together not just to hear Paul teach and to have the Lord's Supper, but they also shared a meal together. How many times have you been out to lunch or dinner with fellow church members? It's a great way to come together as the body of Christ and to truly come and bond together. So I encourage you, as you see how you can know God more, is to experience Him more. This is a great experience, but there's so much more opportunities. And we are going to Juarez, Mexico again the week of spring break. There is more information available as a shameless plug. And I'm full of those. So but as we wrap this up, of knowing more, how do we pursue God on a day-to-day basis? You might be like my niece was years ago. My niece, who's now in is 16 years old. When she was, I think, 3 or 4 years old, I was visiting my sister, and we were going to church that morning. And my niece said, "I don't want to go to church." And my sister said, "Why don't you want to go to church?" She goes, "I already know everything." She'd already gone to nursery school and at a Christian nursery school and learned many of the stories. And I said, "So, Lacey, what do you know?" And she goes, "I know that God loves us. He died on the cross, and because of Him, we can go to heaven. I know everything." And I thought, well, that is a pretty essential part of the scripture. But we see that there is more to learn about faith. You look around and you see some of the senior members who have been walking with Christ for more years than some of us have been alive, and it gives you encouragement to know that there's an ongoing pursuit of who Christ is. I look at my life, and I joined confirmation class in 1986 when I was in, I think, 7th grade in Dallas, Texas. And I think back to what I thought and knew about God, and if I had stopped there, what all I would have missed out on. The opportunities to know and develop a faith that, yes, that was a significant point of recognizing who Christ was, but it wasn't complete. And maybe you look back and remember your time of confirmation and can think, man, if that's all that I knew, I know so much more. And so we continue to pursue daily more and more. I'll close with a scripture from Paul's letter of Philippians 3:14. He said, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on." Continue, brothers and sisters in Christ, to press on. It's not a day of graduation, it's a day of confirming. And for each of us, every day is a new day as we press on towards heaven and the gifts He has for each of us. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we thank You for the confirmands who will be confirmed next service. Thank You for their parents, for Sunday school teachers, to bring them to this point of recognizing You as their Savior and Lord. Pray that they continue to pursue You. Pray for each of us that we would daily want to pursue You, make time to be with You, and that You would speak to us in those times that we have with You. Help us, Lord, to expand through our schedules, to make room to expand our involvement in this church through Bible studies, through mission trip, that we can have that time with You, to encounter You in the body of Christ in a great way. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
World Communion Sunday, let's all stand together and confess the faith that we hold in common with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. My great joy now to invite my brother, S.C. Pan, to join me at the table, and he is going to translate the words of institution this morning into Mandarin for us. On the night that Jesus was arrested and betrayed,
主耶稣基督在被卖的哪一天，哪一个晚上,
he was gathered with his disciples for the Passover meal.
他把门徒聚集在一起，为了来纪念这个逾越节。
After giving thanks, he took the bread and broke it.
他祝谢了以后，他拿起饼来，拨开。
And says to his disciples, "This is my body broken for you."
他对他的门徒说，这是我的身体，为着你来赦命。
Whenever you gather in my name,
每逢你 为着我的名聚集在一起,
and partake of my body,
就是来分享我的身体,
do so in remembrance of me.
你既然如此做, 乃是为纪念我。
In the same way, he took the cup,
他照样拿起杯来,
and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood."
他说,
Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me.
每逢你喝这杯，这样乃是为纪念我。
For as often as you eat of this bread,
每逢你吃这个饼,
and drink of this cup,
喝这个杯,
you proclaim my saving death,
你表明我为着你舍命,
until I come again.
直到我来。
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, it's with great thanksgiving that we receive this bread and this cup, for they proclaim for us so powerfully that your death and resurrection and about your sacrificial love for us. Please pour out your spirit upon this meal this morning, Lord, that we may truly join in the communion with you and all who share in this same feast around the globe. And we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.